Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the LifePoint Christian Church podcast. Let's get started.
We're going to be talking about the Psalms of Ascent, in particular, Psalm 122. The Psalms of Ascent are 15 psalms that the Jews songs that they sang as they traveled to Jerusalem. Three times a year, the Jews were required to go up to Jerusalem. They were required to go there if possible, if feasible. They were required to go during the festival of the Passover. They were to go during the festival of weeks and the festival of booths. So three times a year, they would be interrupted in their lives to travel to Jerusalem, which is very similar to you and I on each Sunday or each day of the week, perhaps when we go to home group. So while traveling to Jerusalem, the children of Israel would sing these 15 songs. So because Jerusalem is the highest city geographically in Palestine, they would eventually be ascending or going up to Jerusalem. At some point, they would be going up Mount Moriah there where Jerusalem was. So picture in your mind, and I want you to think about those happy kids singing, dancing, playing, learning about Jesus. Take some of that energy and picture in your mind the great joy, excitement, to be going to the city of David for a festival. That is what our Sundays should be as we prepare, great anticipation looking forward. So people in all these small villages throughout Israel, they would begin their trek before the Passover, before the festival. They'd start walking. Families would be walking, other families join them. They come to a big crossroads, and all of a sudden, a whole nother group of people come that have joined them from Wilton. And then they continue to walk, they keep heading to Jerusalem. Another large group joins them from Galt. Now you see your second cousin from 2 years ago, you see them, old friends, you're making new friends. All along, you're singing these songs of praise and rejoicing, and we're going up to the city of David for Passover. We are going to be together as the people of God. Thank you. So, can you see that? And that is a picture of you and I every time we have the opportunity, the sacred opportunity, to come and join together with one another to worship. This should be true of us. Anticipation, celebration, joy, because we are with the family. And if there's no joy here on a Sunday morning, what are you going to do in heaven when you got to be with them forever? Right? So get excited now in preparation of the big day when we all sit down at the feet of Jesus. So this picture of the Jews going up to worship in Jerusalem is symbolic of us going up, of maturing in our faith, of moving forward in our relationship with Christ. And Paul calls it the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This upward call, we are called to be moving forward, progressing as we pursue God's kingdom, as we seek first his kingdom. Going up to Jerusalem is a reminder of God's past blessings and the anticipation of what's going to come in the new year. It was excitement and joy. And Isaiah talks about this in Isaiah 30:29. He says, you will have songs as in the night when you keep the festival with gladness in your heart, when one marches to the sound of the flute, to go up to the mountain of God, to go up to Life Point, to join together the Rock of Israel. What an opportunity and joy we have each Sunday. So we need to think about our mindset when we come to church on Sunday, because we're one of two things on Sunday morning. We are either a tourist or we're a pilgrim. As we worship, we make a decision. You want to be a tourist coming to worship, or you want to be a pilgrim coming to worship? Now, a tourist is a person who enjoys going to Sunday worship, but they also like other places of interest. A tourist, I've been to Bryce Canyon, I've been to California Coast. You know how a tourist look, right? They got sunglasses, a big straw hat, and a, well, they used to have a camera, but now they just use their phone, right? So tourists go somewhere, it's a destination point. Yay, we're here. But then once they see it, they leave, and they, all they have is kind of a memory about it, you know? And so this idea of being a tourist in church, it's not very, it doesn't build a deep faith. And for those that are tourists, they will come to church when it's convenient. Tourists will come to church when time allows. Tourists will come to church when they have a personal need or some kind of distress in their life or something comes up. Oh, they'll be in church then. And understand that tourists are among us. And I'm not saying that in a negative sense, so somebody feels bad about their church attendance, because that's not what this is about. But yet on the flip side, it's very much about church attendance, because it's this opportunity to go up to God's house with your family, your brothers and sisters. And you see, tourists, I'm sure they have a genuine faith, but tourists may not necessarily be enjoying the fullness that comes from following Jesus closely, from embracing God. I don't think any one of those kids in the VBS video were tourists last week. Man, they were all in. They were full-on pilgrims. So here's what a pilgrim is, on the other hand. A pilgrim comes to worship with purpose. See that? A pilgrim comes to worship with purpose. A pilgrim is a person who journeys, especially a long distance, to a sacred place as an act of religious devotion. Pilgrims, like those Israelites, heading up to Jerusalem, moving forward, big groups of people, tired, interrupting their lives to go worship with purpose. We are going to the city of David, to the house of God. We get to do that, not we have to do that. And so for the Jews, the journey was the experience of leaving home, traveling mile after mile, arriving in Jerusalem, experiencing the feast and the festival, and then joyfully with their hearts full, returning back home. All of that was bathed in excitement, anticipation, and celebration, as our Sundays should be. Bathed in excitement, anticipation, and celebration. See, we need to learn from our Israelite brothers and sisters, from our Jewish brothers and sisters. This is an opportunity. This is a privilege. This is something that we should be counting the days for, to gather. This is emerging faith of our faith. Driving to church and going back home each Sunday can be a pain in the neck, especially if you got kids. Leave your sister alone. Right? It never fails. Sunday morning is the worst day. Kids get up all week. You dress them for school, not a problem. Sunday morning, you dress them for church, everything falls apart, right? That's just Satan kind of doing his thing to get you to maybe stay home, to maybe not make it to church. But see, our time each Sunday is an act of religious devotion, bathed in excitement, anticipation, and joy. So if you have your Bibles or your phones, Psalm 122, and it's about corporate worship. And I'm not happy about the word corporate worship, because corporate worship sounds kind of corporate. Yeah, you know, but that's, you know, the word that we use. But if you look first at the superscription above Psalm 122, that's those little words, they might be in italic, and they say, a song for pilgrims, a song for pilgrims, not for tourists. This is a song for pilgrims, ascending to Jerusalem, a psalm of David. Now, when we look at verse 1, we're going to think, well, maybe this is just some pastor trying to pump up attendance. I was glad, I rejoiced when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Now, that sounds like a pastor. Let's build up the church. We need more people, more people. No, no. Listen to the phrasing. I was glad. I rejoiced when they, the other pilgrims with me, they said, let us corporately go up to the house of the Lord. Let you and I go into the sanctuary. Let's go in together and worship. And that word there that is either glad or rejoice, depending on your version of the Bible, means to feel joy and express it. It means let's go into the sanctuary, let's go into the auditorium with joy in our hearts and smiles on our faces. Amen. Smile back, or I'll just stand here like a dummy. See, let us, me and you, I want to encourage you to go into the temple, into the house of the Lord with me, so we can collectively, corporately lift our hands to God. Do you see the privilege in that? Do you see the joy of that? You see, the pilgrims have reached Jerusalem. They're finally inside the gates. And now, inside the gates of Jerusalem, let us move to the temple. Let us move to the house of the Lord. Worshiping together is part of our DNA. It's who we are. Worshiping. And please, please understand, worshiping is not three songs before the sermon. That's worship and singing. But we also worship in God's word, as I'm doing now. We're worshiping. We also worship through fellowship. We worship through giving. We worship through engaging each other. It's all an act of worship. So often we think worship is singing. Yes, but no. It's all inclusive. Worship is sitting there with your Bible open. Worship is a handshake and a hug at the door. All of that collectively is worship. You see, our time together is a spiritual event, a sacred opportunity. One Christians must regularly and willingly embrace with joy and gladness. But it's always a choice, isn't it? It's always a choice to be here. It's voluntary. So, we have to think about that. Will I be there or will I not be there? It's a choice. And I'm glad you made that choice this morning. And you know those words out of Hebrews chapter 10, right? We always hear them in a sermon about church and coming to church and so on and so forth. And the writer of Hebrews says, and let us, you and me, let us not neglect our meeting together. Don't me and you neglect us coming together on Sunday, as some people do. So you see, the writer of Hebrews is saying some people stay home and voluntarily choose not to worship corporately with the family of God. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. But instead of not meeting, let us encourage one another as we get closer and closer to the day of the Lord. I don't know when Jesus returns. I don't know how that's going to play out, but I do know this. We're 2,000 years closer, right? 2,000 years closer than we were. Now look at verse 2. And now, here we are. Here we are. Me and you, you and I, collectively together. Haven't seen you since last Sunday. Here we are. Standing inside your gates, O Jerusalem. Do you ever walk inside of LifePoint with wonder and awe? We should. God's house with God's people, His Spirit permeating us this morning. Not only is the power of God through the Holy Spirit living in my heart, He's collectively in your hearts and just is hovering over us as He is in every church. You see, the church, the spiritual center, the hub of all things related to God and Israel. Nothing will ever equal worshiping in the temple in Jerusalem, in the house of God. What a journey, great expectations. Isn't the beauty of us worshiping together the best thing of the week, collectively singing? But you see, and they were like, I got in trouble last, anyway. You know what the world has done to Sundays? They've taken Sunday and made it Sunday Fun Day, right? So Sunday Fun Day doesn't necessarily include church if you're outside of the church, right? Because I know that kids have tournaments and Sunday is just another day off. When I grew up, playing baseball, we never played on Sundays, even for All-Stars. If I told my dad, hey, I'm in a tournament and we need to drive to San Diego. We lived in LA to be in a tournament. You know what my dad would have told me? Good luck with that, right? Because that was a different generation, a different era. But Sunday fun day has pulled us away from the worship of God. And I know, some Sundays you don't feel well. Some Sundays you're out of town. Some Sundays there is a tournament. You got to get your kid there. But this idea of the world creating Sunday fun day to pull us away from what we are called to do in terms of our spiritual duty. So, verse 3, Jerusalem is a well-built city. It's seamless, it's compact. The walls cannot be breached. The city is an architectural wonder. The temple is amazing. The stones fit together perfectly. The craftsmanship is unsurpassed. The city is a work of art, God's beautiful design. There's nothing like it. Nothing compares to being in the house of God. And I know we, you know, in our modern day church, you know, we have a lobby. We call this the auditorium. But there was a day, do you remember when the lobby used to be the foyer? Or if you were really high church, it was the narthex. Anybody remember the narthex? And then you came into the sanctuary, right? So not that, you know, that matters, but as we enter the parking lot, as we enter the sliding doors, it's you and me, it's us. And now we begin to rekindle that relationship from last week. How was your week? What's been going on? How's your kids doing? We were praying for your sister. How's she doing with that cancer battle or whatever? When we come in the doors, we come in the gates of LifePoint. It's this opportunity for us to engage and embrace in worship. Verse 4, all the tribes of Israel, the Lord's people, make their pilgrimage here. All of Israel comes to Jerusalem, and for many it's not easy. It's a financial burden, but they come, they choose to come. All the tribes of Israel, the Lord's people, make their pilgrimage here. They come to give thanks to the name of the Lord, as the law requires of all Israel. We come to give thanks. Thanks for my financial need being met. Thanks for my spiritual needs being met. Thanks for my family is intact. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We go on and on and on. We come to give thanks. Are you thankful this morning? Are you just biding time to get through this to appease your spouse? Are you just here because it's expected of you? You see, I'm here. I want to be here to give thanks. Thanks for my brothers. Thanks for my sisters. Thanks for my pastor. Thanks for my worship team. Thanks for the two things that happened this morning. The biggest two miracles of the day for me. I woke up and my feet hit the ground. Thank you, Jesus. I don't need much more than that, right? So they travel there. They come to give thanks. To be in the sacred city of Jerusalem, can our worship on Sunday morning be anything less than the Israelites coming to Jerusalem for Passover? Augustine, one of the early church fathers, he said this about a Christian. He said that a Christian should be a hallelujah from head to foot. A Christian should be a hallelujah from head to foot. Should be, ought to be. Could be if we so choose. And I think those are good words for us to keep in mind. You see, worship is not about feelings. Oh, when they sing that song, I get goosebumps. Oh, I get this amazing feeling. That's wonderful to be engaged in a song like that. But worship is our response to an audience of one. Sunday morning, we're an audience of one, to one, and that's God. And here's what we respond to. The fact that God knows you by name and you know him by name. Isn't that amazing? That the God of all creation, the God who put it all in place, knows me intimately and I know him. And I want to respond to that. Jesus' death on the cross gave me this amazing relationship with God the Father. An unholy human being, me, now has a relationship with a holy, perfect God through the person of Jesus Christ. Through his death, God knows me and I know him. And that is something that our experience on Sunday should be about. Amen. 12 tribes of Israel, but one people. 3 services on Sunday morning, but one people, right? And I don't know everybody in the first service. I don't know everybody in the third service. I know a few people in this service because this is the one I come to. But they're no less my brothers or sisters. They're no less my brothers and sisters. Verse 5. Here stands the thrones where judgment is given, the thrones of the dynasty of David. You see, Jerusalem was the political capital of Israel. It was the seat of the royal house of David. And if you're a Jew, David's a big deal, right? So they are going to the place of David, the city of David, the appointed place for the administration of justice. They understood Jerusalem's significance in the context of their culture. It was important, as churches used to be important in the community, right? Remember back, you know, years and years and years ago, the church had a significant place within the context and the culture of the local community. The church was a gathering place. It held a special purpose. Maybe not so much anymore, and we kind of let that happen. But the word judgment there, where it says, here stands the thrones of judgment, the word judgment means the way God straightens out things and puts them in order. Here stands the thrones where judgment takes place. Here on Sunday morning, as Pastor Chris preaches, the word of God that he shares with us straightens out things in our life, and it puts the things in our life in order if we're obedient to the truth, right? So that's what happens here on Sunday morning. It's this judgment from the word of God that's given us order and directing our lives. Now, these next 2 verses are a prayer for Jerusalem. And dare I say, too, that we should be praying this prayer as well for LifePoint? Maybe we should be praying this prayer that we're going to look at in a moment for every gospel-preaching, Bible-believing church in our community, in our nation, and in our world. Bible-believing, gospel-preaching churches are needed. Some churches, they tell a warm story and they tack a verse onto it and they call it good. I'm not sitting in judgment of them. I'm just saying there's a difference between a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church and some of the other churches that are out there. You see, Paul tells us in Ephesians, make every effort to keep yourselves united in spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. This is us. Make every effort to engage in unity. Make every effort in that unity to be in peace with one another. So now verse 6, Psalms 122. Pray or ask for peace in Jerusalem. Why do we need to pray for peace in Jerusalem? Because Jerusalem is made up of our brothers and sisters. We, when we pray for Jerusalem, are praying for others. Ask for peace in Jerusalem. May all who love this city prosper. Again, we're praying for others in that city. We're praying for one another. Ask, pray for peace in Jerusalem. May all who love this city prosper. May all who love this community of faith called Life Point, may we enjoy peace, may we prosper. And understand that peace is the Hebrew word shalom, which implies wholeness, not just the absence of conflict, but peace, the word shalom, implies wholeness, well-being, contentment as a result of embracing God's fullness. You and I being content because we embrace the fullness of God. And that word prosperity isn't necessarily wealth. It's the word shalva, which means the relaxed state of those who know all is well because God is in control. That's prosperity. That's security, knowing that God's in control. And we rest in that, in knowing that. So why are we praying this? Verse 8, for the sake of my family and friends, I will say, may Jerusalem have peace. Because of my brothers and sisters in the city, I'm going to pray because of them. I'm going to pray for them. We should be praying for one another. We should be engaging one another. We should be praying for the sake of my church family, for the sake of the man or woman in front of me, for the sake of the man or woman behind me, for the sake of the high school kids up in the foundry, for the sake of my friends and family, I will pray for peace for Jerusalem, for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Verse 9, for the sake of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek what is best for Jerusalem. For the sake of God's business here at Life Point, for the sake of what God's doing among us, I will seek what is best for you. And that word seek means active involvement. I will actively involve myself in what is best for the community of faith called Life Point. We all should engage in that. We all should embrace that. This is our family. This is our home. This is our gathering point. Here is where we are one. Here is where you should be known by name. This is our Cheers bar. Can I say that? If you don't know what Cheers is, just Google that. You know, and we're all norms, right? We all, this is the place where we are known. You know me and I know you and we are all together. Cuckoo, ka-choo. Google that one too, kids. So, for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will actively involve myself in what's best for Life Point Church. So here's thoughts for today as we wrap up. Regardless of our finances, regardless of our background, our occupation, our ethnicity, our language, or our shortcomings, God's people gather as one for worship, warts and all. Amen? Amen. Warts and all. And this time together provides the framework for our faith. Church, this is our legacy. Listen to this passage out of Acts. You know it. Acts chapter 2. And all the believers met together in one place, and they all shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those who had need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met together in homes for the Lord's Supper and enjoying and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God, enjoying the goodwill of each other, enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, what did God do? Added to their number. Oh, but Pastor Rick, we're already full. We already got to make some changes here. That's God's problem. See, you think it's Chris and the leader? That's not there. That's God's problem. If they come, he'll make a way. Amen? And we trust that and we believe that. So, God created us, he redeemed us, he sustains us, he directs us, and we celebrate with great joy each Sunday. We celebrate our shared lives. We celebrate each other. And then we're reminded, 1 Peter chapter 4. And this was evident all through Vacation Bible School week. God has given each one of you a gift from his great variety of gifts. Use them well to serve yourself. Amen? Use them well to serve yourself. Amen? I'll read. Use them well to serve what? One another. Stop serving yourself. Serve the family. Serve each other. So, after 6 days apart, here's a question. After 6 days apart, are you looking forward to our family time? Yeah. Amen. As you get up and get ready for Sunday worship and drive to join others in God's house, is it a chore or is it a delight? Are you making new friends Sunday after Sunday or find yourself in a holy huddle with the same people each week? Are you encouraging, praying for, asking the names, and embracing those around you each week? Do you smile, hug, handshake with sincerity of heart? I know what you're thinking. Well, Rick, you're an extrovert. It's easy for you. I'm not that way. All I'm talking about is family. That's who we are, right? Do you leave each week with your heart full, having worshiped with your church family? Do you make it a priority to engage your church family throughout the week in some other small group church activity or event? If not, why not? We are family. I got all my sisters with me. And brothers. Anyway, with that thought, let's move to communion.
You can learn more about us by visiting us online at lifepoint.org. If you are ever in the Sacramento area, we would love to see you in person. Events and service times can be found on our website. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us for our next episode.